Turning your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk.
How do you say that now?
Who took the cook?
Oh.
All right. Chapter 2.
Use that.
It's on.
Thank you. This is not as powerful as the other microphone, but we'll do. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. Try to think about this for the first time. You've read this a lot, but let it wash over you a little slower. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Father, bless our service this afternoon, God. Thank you for your word that speaks to us, heals, that counsels, that corrects. Bless Pastor Shapelli as he speaks and the rest of the speakers. Bless our assembly, the divine community. Speak today, God, we pray in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. First thing I'd like to do is everybody that's ever visited Africa in regards to Greater Grace Missions, would you stand up? If you have visited Africa in regards to Greater Grace Missions in some place. And I know there's a lot of people that might be coming tonight, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love this portion of scripture. I spoke about it the other night at Africa Night, and it just kind of stuck with me for the whole week or so. He says, write the vision, and the word that he uses there is inscribe it. It's engraved, and then you describe it. It's engraved, it's inscribed, and then you describe it. Something that's really in the heart. Write the vision. Make it plain. Make it clear. Make it simple. Make it clear. Make it precise. Make it simple. Make it single. Write the vision and make it plain that those who read it will run with it. They will run with what they read. And really, I think that's what really spoke to me about Africa missions. When you see all these men up here and people that have gone to Africa and these men that will share with us today the message, it's been amazing. In the mid-80s, Pastor Stevens spoke to me about, I had this massive, amazing, incredible, wonderful plan to live in Italy and start a church there. Never happened. Never happened. Everything just went down quick. And then he asked me, have you ever thought about Africa? I said, nope. He said, would you think about it? I said, nope. He said, would you pray about it? I said, nope. And I just left it at that. He just smiled and looked at me and, okay, that's nice. Pastor Schaller spoke a message one time and I began to think about Africa. I was at the Starreton Chapel on Hebrews 11. And I began to think it through. At least I started to think about it, then began to pray about it, and then decided in 1985 that it's got to happen. Let's figure this out, how it's going to happen. So a few of us, myself, Pastor Cooper, and one other person, went to Ghana, and God really spoke when I was there. I remember I was speaking to a massive crowd of people, probably most of them unsaved. It was at the end, it was in Ashama, Pastor Lawson. It was, I can't remember the exact spot and what it was called, but when I was speaking the message, I was speaking from Luke 4, 16 to 21, and God kind of said to me, you here. It was real simple. Make it plain. You here, Africa. And then I just went home and said to my wife, it's not Italy, it's Africa. we're moving to Africa. She said, when? I said, I'm not exactly sure, but it'll be happening soon. Let's get ready. And being the amazing wife that she is, she said, let's go. Not about what are the kids going to do for their education, how are we going to live, where are we going to live, what are we going to eat, what's going to take place there. Like, let's just do this. Amen?
Amen?
Because it's something that was engraved, inscribed in the heart, and it was an opportunity to really describe it, speak about it. And so what has taken place since 1986, we're talking 36 years now. Isn't that something? 36 years and we're still alive. Still on 2 feet sometimes. Still moving about. And I was looking at it today, and it's not about numbers and figures, because some people could look at it and get intimidated and say, well, it's not happening where we are. I don't have anything to say about that or do about that. This is a work of God, amen? It's a work of God. It's a work of the body. It's GGWO's work. It's not the work of a person. It's not the work of a small group of people. It's the ministry. You got that? It's the ministry. Right now we have 288 churches in 23 countries. We have visited 40 countries, but we have churches in 23 countries, 288 of them. It's unbelievable. I think 159 in West Africa alone, where Pastor Lawson is from, where we began, and all these different countries. And Bible colleges, 55 of them, with 2,000 students attending Bible college classes, all of them watching classes from Baltimore. All the Bible schools, even with translation, watching classes from here, watching Pastor Stevens, watching Pastor Schaller, and watching classes. And it's amazing what has taken place. And yet, the vision, we got to keep, we read it, and we keep doing what? Running with it. Amen? I mean, that the way I figure it out, there's another 32 countries we have to hit. And if something happens to me, look at them. I'm charging them. Keep going. Anybody ever remember that statement? Keep going. Yes, that continent is for us. And it's a work of God. And I think it's amazing that what God has done and what has taken place there. 16,000 people come to Greater Grace churches in Africa right now. 16,000. It's incredible. And it's nothing but it's going to just keep going. Without a doubt, I know that. It's going to keep going. We hold fast to doctrine. We hold fast to the Word of God and doctrine and the grace message, love and mercy and an eternal purpose and that which is of God. And this will continue and keep going. Right now, I would say we have maybe 400 pastors in Africa. And that's incredible. And maybe only two or three Americans are actually operating in Africa. And this is where the work began. But we have been involved with training people to do the work. Hallelujah. Not just going over there and saying, well, we're doing this, but training Ghanaians and Ugandans and Sudanese and people from Rwanda and Mozambique and South Africa and Zambia, Zimbabwe and Liberia and on it goes. And a lot of people would say, that continent? Are you kidding me? When you talk about taking courage, I was told by so many people, you can't go there. You can't do that. That place is like, you must be joking. There's lions there. I don't see them. I don't see lions. What the heck's a lion? There's a lion in our streets, right? Take courage. Take courage and just receive it from God. And I love that. I love that little phrase, take courage. I want to concentrate on the take, because it's not me working up my own courage. It's not me having the courage of my human nature or something from the past where I was a courageous person. Thank God for that. Maybe you were. But take God's courage. Amen? Take the courage of the one who could stand in front of the Pharisees and say to them, you serpents and hypocrites. Take the courage of the one who could go to the cross and pay for the sins of all the world. All sin was on him. All evil was against him. Take his courage. Amen? Take the courage of the 11 apostles. Take the courage of Paul and Timothy and Titus and all these men. And take the courage of Joshua and Moses. Take it. Yeah. We receive it. We receive it from the Word and from grace. It's a grace-given courage. Don't look in the mirror. Look in God's eyes and take courage. Amen? So thank you. Thank you for being so much in the vision as a ministry worldwide. We have people, there's a lot of people that could stand, but they're in Europe. Many Europeans and Eastern Europeans have come to Africa. Many Africans have gone to other African countries. And it's amazing. Take courage. It's in front of us. 30-something more countries. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's do it. Huh? In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Lawson Doe from Ghana.
I don't need introduction. Good afternoon to you all. It's evening in Ghana now, because we are 4 hours ahead of you. So always, I get into New Year before you get into. Thank Jesus once again we are here. And Pastor Shibeli said, we should write the vision and make it clear. When we are speaking, you have to speak clearly to the people so that they may understand. Thank God for your lives this afternoon also. Maybe I'm not going to be fast or dribble the English the way you hear it, but pay attention, because there is something in for you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, bless this day also. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus. In chapter 3. Verse 15. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. No, chapter 4, verse 14. Sorry. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And then verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, that you shall say to them, to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Father, bless this word. In your name, amen. They said we should take courage. Take courage. Moses, as Pastor Shibley said 3 days ago, he was not a slave. The time he was born, he was not a slave. But it came to pass that the Pharaoh that knew them died. So they were born in slavery, but they were not captured into slavery. So they were born slaves. And Moses, this very Moses, was reared or taken care of in the house of Pharaoh to be the next king. But something happened. One day he saw Israelis and then Egyptians fighting. And then to assist his people, he gave him one blow, one knockout. Then the man died. And he dug a hole there and buried him. The following day, he went again. And two Israelis were fighting or quarreling. Then he told them, no, you are brothers, don't do this. Then he said, you want to kill me also like how you killed that man yesterday? They knew that the news is overheard by everybody. So he ran away. He ran away. And then over there, we are not going to talk about that. God told him to go back to Egypt, to Pharaoh. He said, who am I? God, who am I? If I don't know how to speak, if I want to speak, I'll say one word. I'll say, before one word will come out. Why are you sending me to him? And God told him that, I know your brother, Aaron, know how to speak well. So when you go, represent God, me, and then he will represent you. So talk to your brother, and your brother will hear you well. And then he will tell the people. He said, okay, when I go, what am I going to tell them? Who are you? What's your name? You who is sending me. I can't go and tell these people that it is their father's God. They said, why have you seen him? What have he told you? What is his name? Because Israelites, they will ask questions, as Moses himself will ask questions. And we Christians too, today, we will ask questions. We'll be inquisitive, very inquisitive to know. So God told him, I am who I am. That's my name. Tell them, that will be my name forever. And up to today, that I am is here with us. Here with us today in Baltimore Convention, I am is with us. So take courage in that I am. The majestic name I am enables us to glimpse the unmerited grace of God. The I am. The I am will enable us to glimpse to the unmerited grace of God. I am is an unfinished sentence. I am is an unfinished sentence. When I meet you, I say, you say, what is your name? Then you say, I am. Then you leave. Oh, how would I know you? How would I know you? But it is still with you today. It has no object. I am. What? What? What are you? What? It is a marvelous to discover from the Bible that God is saying, I am. What my people need. What you need, that is what God is. Anyone who is hearing my voice today, what you need, your need, your need, and your need, and we the pastors need, is what God is today. That's why I say, I am your need. You tell me your needs. Because I never finish the sentence. You just add your needs there. Put your needs there. Then the sentence will be complete. The sentence is left unfinished so that man can bring his many needs as they arise to complete it. I am, makes God not to be understood. When he said I am, I won't understand him. You understand him. None of us will understand him. And Moses never understood him. That's why he said, what? What? Tell me your name, exactly name. Exact name. Tell me. But as soon as human needs are presented, then the Lord becomes whatever is lacking. When you present your needs to him, then what is lacking, what I am is put there. At that point, the sentence has an object. The thought is completed, and the true nature of God is revealed. What do you lack? What do you lack? What I lack, I'll just put it there. God is I am to me. So I just present my knees to him over there. Then, so he told Moses, take courage and go back. Go back to Pharaoh. Tell him, I am, send you. And he went. And we all know the marvelous things that he did, both in Israel and on the way to Canaan. Do you lack peace? I am your peace. What do you lack? I am your peace. Yahweh Shalom is my name. I am your peace, says the Lord. I am your strength. Israel, I am your strength. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, he says that I am your strength. So you, Gideon, take courage, go and fight for me. I am your wisdom. Do you like wisdom? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, say, if anybody lacks wisdom, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. So he says, I am. You see, wisdom, I am. Then wisdom, that you lack. Anything you have to lack. And Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says that, if you need healing, I am your healer. I am your healer. You just put healer there. He said, I am. So put healer there. Then he is your healer. I am is like a blank check. Our faith can fill in whatever the Lord is to us personally. He said, I am the way and the truth and the light. Are you lost in the way? Are you lost in life? Is any of your family member lost in this life? Then Jesus Christ is the way to what do you like? What do you lack? What do you lack? Is I am. His I am. Six, to fill in the greatest need of yours. Whatever you need, your greatest need, fill it in. Just say, Lord, I am. You are the Lord who says, I am. You are my. You are my. You are my. You need money? He's the great provider. When Abraham lacked son, he never had son, visited him, he said, okay, I will give you son. I am. Give you son. I'm going to give you son. And the wife was laughing, jiggling somewhere. God heard it, but Abraham never heard it. And then he said, why is your wife laughing? Okay. The year by next time by this time, I'll come and visit you. And you will have a son. His name will be Isaac, which means laughter. People will see you over 90 years, woman bringing forth a son. So I am. And that promised child came. So he's telling us that he is. So we should take courage in him. Take courage in him. That's all. He need our faith. He need our courage. We should take courage in him, and then everything will be okay. It's forever I am, that which my people need. He is forever I am, whatever my people needs. And then when he was about to leave, he told the disciples that, go preach everywhere in the world. And the last word was, I am with you always. The I am is with us here now. Wherever you come from, I am is there to help you, to assist you, to provide for you. It's your provision. It's your anything at all, everything in this world, he is. And put it there, he is my provider. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was an incredible thought. That was amazing. Hey, I have one question for everybody up here. Yes. Well, not even you. But did anybody else get a phone call at 3:30 this morning about this session? No? I get a phone call from Pastor Shibeli at 3:30 this morning saying, did I remember to tell you that there's a session going on that you're going to be a part of today at 1 o'clock? Nobody else got that phone call? Everybody else knew about this? Nice. Thank you. See, it isn't the first time he's done that. I remember the first time he called me at 3:30 in the morning. I answered the phone. He's like, don't come to Ethiopia. I'll meet you in Uganda. I'm like, I wasn't planning on going to Ethiopia. Okay, I'll meet you in Uganda. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 7 says, the Lord says, I will save my people in the land from the east to the west. And after I had spent a number of years in West Africa as a missionary, being fresh out of Bible college and knowing everything, I had come back to Baltimore and I was here for a season. And there was another one of those phone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to do something. We got to go to East Africa. And I started praying, yes, I believe God does want something. And I started praying, and God gave me this verse. And the same way I have saved the people in the West is the same way I will save the people in the East. And I started thinking about the work that Pastor Lawson and the men in West Africa have continued to go on in over these 36 years. And the fruit, the people that have come from us going there back in 88. And, you know, the other thing this verse tells me, though, about the East and the West, Pastor Armin, Pastor Dario, sorry, not mentioned. But what happens, though, is this was a personal verse for me. And so God says, the fruit that I have given in the West is the same fruit that I will give in the East. But the only way to get that fruit is for a seed to be planted and die. And God was like, guess who the seed is? I was like, no, I don't know. Pastor Shibeli is the seed. And God was like, no, this verse is for you. Guess who the seed is? And so every missionary that goes to any field, they are a seed. And they go there to their mission field to die. And it doesn't matter if it's Glen Burnie or Dundalk or Crownsville or wherever, Las Vegas. It doesn't matter where the mission field is. We go to the mission field to die, knowing that the promise of God is this: I will save the people. I could care less how many churches we have or how many locations. Sorry, Pastor Shibeli. I know I'm really on thin ice there. But I'm not worried about how much the offerings are or how big the buildings are or how well the music is or how many different outreaches we have. None of that matters. You know what matters? Keep your shoelace, give me the people. Keep your possessions, give me the people. The people are all that matter. To be able to go to a mission field, East Africa, West Africa, North, South, Asia, South America, doesn't matter. Maryland, Michigan, Massachusetts. To go to the mission field and to be the seed that dies so that fruit will come forth, so that God can save the people. That's all that matters. But isn't it? By their fruit you shall know them. And people want to be known by their fruit, but they don't want to die. They want the results without going through the crucifixion. And that is what missions is all about. Missions is dying to ourselves, dying to our own goals, dying to our own vision, dying to our own ambitions. It's going there and dying so that, as Pastor Lawson said, the I am can be the vision. It's like, I am your vision. I am your life. I am your gifts. I am you if you will die to me. And so just this idea of what God has done throughout all of Africa with the men and the women that God has raised up is incredible. And you know what? Like Pastor Shabelli said, he preached a message. We were losing our visas in Ghana. And they said, we're going to kick you out of this country. And I remember standing in the immigration office with Pastor Shabelli, and he says, do you know what it means if you kick me out of this country? And the officer looked at him and says, no, what? He says, that means there's 53 other countries that have the opportunity to kick me out next. You're just the first of 53 other countries in Africa. I'm not leaving. And it was like, and I stood there like, you're like provoking the guy right now. Like, we're trying to be nice to the guy, you know, we bring him a fish, you know, you're trying to, all kinds of things to try to get a visa from him, and you're provoking him. You know what God was? I am your visa. I am your visa. I am your call. I am your vision. You know, so it's like, yeah, we have 32 other countries or 33 other countries to go, and you know what? God's not done. And yes, we have these men and many of other people who have gone on the mission field, many who have gone on the mission field to Africa with us who are now in heaven. And you know what? God's not done. You know why? Because God, the vision from God comes from the Word of God. God says, I am your vision. It's right here in the Word of God. God wants to give you a personal vision and word to where he wants you to go and where he wants to use you and how the I am can be alive in your life. Amen?
I have the task of introducing my father. We came to Baltimore here when many people moved here. 1989, and my father came, raised me here in the Christian school, and I know in his heart he's always had a heart for missions, but he had to, you know, put me through school and take care of me, and he kind of put that vision on hold, and soon after I finished in high school and came to Bible school. He and my mother went to the mission field to Croatia and planted a church in Croatia for 5 years, handed that church over, and came back here, and then said, let's visit. He wanted to visit us in Malawi and came to visit us, and, you know, being retired, said, this is a great place. Would you mind if we moved here? And they came and were with us in Malawi for 7 years. And yeah, God built the church there, but he uses us. And if it wasn't for my father being with us, we wouldn't have what we have. So it's a great honor to welcome him and introduce him, Pastor George Armin.
Heavenly Father, bless these words to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. How many people here have gone to Bible college for 2 or more years? Can you stand up? Okay. You can sit down. Why did I ask that question? I don't know. I'll tell you an event that happened to me in 1980. I was in Bible college. Dr. Stevens was teaching the class, and it was like many of the classes that I attended that he taught. But this one was different, because by the end of the class, I was being transformed. I felt God speaking to my heart. I didn't know what was happening, but I said to myself, I will never be the same. I will never be the same. I had training, education. I could get a good job in that. I didn't care about it. I didn't care if I worked cleaning floors, but I was going to follow Jesus. And I didn't have the opportunity then, as you see, but it came later. And I thought and pondered upon, I looked around the class, and I was asking myself, is anyone hear what I'm hearing? And I didn't see anything. It was just a normal class to them. It was another class, but it wasn't another class, but in the sense of them hearing what I heard, it was another class. So I, over time, I pondered what God was said to me at that time. And I came up with two questions. One, hath God said, like he said to Eve, like Satan said to Eve in the garden. And the second one is, who are you? And so I came to the conclusion that God was speaking to me, and that transformation was identifying me as who I am, my identity. Because you and I are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. We are baptized in his body. And as Dr. Stevens used to say, he quoted Bob Jones from Bob Jones University, God is so hard up, he'll use even you. God is so desperate, he'll use even you and me. He said that a number of times. Because we have the corner on the truth. We have the compass. We have the compass of eternity and where God is leading us. And we have the Word of God. God's Word is sovereign. Hath God said, yes, everything in the Bible has some direction to some portion of your life. The words in the Bible we can stake our lives on. And so we are the only people. We are God's citizens, and nobody else is like that. God doesn't have anyone else. He doesn't have anyone else that believes and trusts in him and gives him and dedicates their life to him. And like you and I, many of us have dedicated our lives to Jesus Christ. We will follow him where he leads us by faith. And we are taking steps of faith every day. Sometimes people wonder what the will of God is. Well, if you have a prayer life which is continuous, you pray without ceasing, and if you study the Word on a consistent basis, and you come in fellowship with the body of Christ and submit yourself to the teaching, you're walking in the direction that God wants you to. He controls you by the circumstances that happen in the days that you walk into him. So praise the Lord God that we have this body here, people that are studying to know Jesus Christ and him personally. Amen. I now introduce my son, Jesus. Pastor Chris.
Wow. How do I follow my father? I can't do it. Beautiful. Thank you. So good to see you. It's a great blessing to be here. I'm going to embarrass my wife. Is my wife here? She's high. Oh, okay, there she is. Thank you for marrying me. And you're a great blessing. The church, we are all members in particular, but we're part of one body. And nothing can happen throughout the world if it's not for the unity that we have, if it's not for your prayers. As my father said, the prayer life that we have, sacrificial giving. And so we are really, really, we are so grateful for your lives. And it you know, our lives, we can get very isolated easily, as we saw in the past few years. But when we're together like this, we realize that we're part of a great work. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for putting us in your body. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and covering us in each step that we take. Bless these words too, that they could complement what we've heard already. In your precious name, amen. As Pastor Shibeli said earlier, God, you know, the theme of this conference is take courage. God doesn't ask us to bring courage with us. He asks us to take it. Because I think one of the reasons is because we don't have courage. We don't, within ourselves, we're very fearful. Within ourselves, we have nothing and we're empty. But Christ, he brought courage with him. He is the only one that could have done what was needed for the whole human race and laid down his life. He said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it again. And so he brought the courage. He brought it with him, and he just says to us to take that courage. And a verse that talks about this is in Job chapter 23 and verse 14. And I love the story of Job, and it's a little bit of an enigma to me, but it's so full of just amazing truth. But in Job 23, verse 14, Job said, "For God performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." And this is our life as a Greater Grace Christian. It's that God performs the things that are appointed for us. He does it. This shirt is like a remembrance of that for me. This shirt is like a Hawaiian African shirt. And when God called us, I thought he was saying Maui, and I was saying, amen, amen, Maui. And that's where I want to be, but God said, no, listen carefully, Malawi. It's landlocked. You know, there's no ocean in sight. It has a lake, at least. At least there's a lake there. But he performed it. He performed it. And many years ago, being in the high school here and hanging out with Pastor Shibeli's son, Peter, shout out to Peter Shibeli, being at his house and hanging out with him and having Pastor Lawson and Pastor John come, and they would say, one day you will be in Ghana. And I said, where is Ghana? You will see, you will see. And Pastor Shibeli inviting us, and I know why my father made everybody stand, is because you all volunteered to come do a missions trip to Africa without knowing it. But so Pastor Lawson would say, come to Ghana. And I said, oh, okay, one day maybe, not believing it, but God performed the thing that was appointed. And Pastor Shibeli said, hey, come to the Ghana conference. I thought, is there an ocean there? And I was with some of the guys in the school. He said, let's go and bring a surfboard and we'll go to the conference and we'll go surfing at the same time. And God said, "That's it's like a joke that God played. Sure, I'll get you in, and then you'll be in a landlocked country after that." And that's what happened. But he did it. He did it. He performed it. Each step of the way, he does it in all of our lives. He performs the thing that's appointed for us. And so God has a calling on your life. He has a calling for you to receive Christ. And he did everything, right? He gave you the grace. All that was required is your faith and my faith to say, yes, God. And he saves us. And then he says, be a disciple. Find a church. And he finds us a church. He did it for us. And then he says, be a disciple. Be a hearing one in that church. And you just say, okay, I'm going to keep hearing. And it gets better and it gets better. And you keep getting more hungry and more hungry after the things that you hear. And he performs it and he does it. And then he says, now you disciple others. Just pour your life into other people. Disciple others and share your faith. And then you just agree with God and he starts to do it in you. And it's a miracle. We've been in Malawi, it's almost 10 years that we've been there as a family. Our children, our kids have grown up in Africa. Our oldest daughter has only been here out of Africa for 2 years of her life. The rest of her life has been there. But what we can say with the fact is that God has done it. God has performed it. And he built our team in Malawi with the Slivas, with my parents, with the Entelashas, Pastor Albert Entelasha, and it's just been a great blessing. And pray for us. We have a vision for the other side of Southern Africa that does have an ocean on it, on the other side. And that's the country of Namibia. And we're praying about that and have a vision to go there maybe in a year from now. And we're just depending on God that he's going to perform the thing that he's appointed for us. Amen.
Shibley or Shibel? Am I Shibley? Pastor Dario, I met him years ago. We went to many, many trips to Morocco, Tangiers, Marrakesh, and I'm glad that he's there now because I was jailed there twice, and I didn't think it was wise to go back yet, but I think I'm coming soon. September, right? I don't care about the internet.
Yeah.
I don't care.
November.
November?
Yeah.
Yes. And so he's living there with his wife, Anik, and it's great. All of North Africa is probably like 99.9% Islam. And here we are right in the middle of it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it with a church. Welcome, Pastor Dario.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, est-ce que vous allez bien?
He wants to say how you doing.
Yes.
I told him to say something in English when he got up here to warm himself up to the crowd.
Sorry. Emotion.
Good job.
Okay. So, donc nous sommes de en français, nous sommes donc de l'église de Montpellier.
So we're from the Montpellier church.
Et nous sommes au Maroc depuis 3 ans.
And we're in Morocco for 3 years.
Avec mon épouse que je vais embarrasser.
With my wife who I can also embarrass, Annie.
C'est une femme merveilleuse, merveilleuse, vraiment. Une femme de foi extraordinaire.
An extraordinary wife.
Yeah, really. Donc, ça fait 3 ans que nous sommes au Maroc.
3 years in Morocco.
Et ça fait 3 ans que le Seigneur œuvre dans nos cœurs.
So for 3 years, God's been working in our hearts.
Et au sein des frères et sœurs là-bas du Maroc.
What's that?
parmi les frères et sœurs aussi du Maroc.
Oh, among the brothers and sisters in Morocco.
Okay. So we can pray.
So merci. We can pray. Yes, very good.
Okay, merci Père.
Thank you, Father.
Merci pour ce temps.
Thank you for this time.
Merci pour ta parole.
For your word.
Merci pour ton esprit, Seigneur.
Thank you for your spirit,
merci
Lord.
Pour ton amour, ta grâce.
For your love and your grace.
Merci pour ton œuvre parfaite, Seigneur.
For your perfect work.
Accompli à la croix.
That was completed
accompli
on the
dans
cross.
Nos vies, Seigneur. Et accompli dans nos vies.
That's completed in our lives.
Bénis ce temps, ta parole, Seigneur.
And bless this word.
Amen.
Amen.
Ephésiens 3.
Ephesians chapter 3.
Verset 13.
And verse is chapter 3?
13. Non, verset 3, chapitre 3, verset 13.
Chapitre 4?
3.
3. 3:13, sorry.
Aussi, je vous demande de ne pas perdre courage à cause des afflictions que j'endure. Pour vous, elles sont votre gloire.
Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Courage.
Courage.
Affliction.
Afflictions.
Gloire.
Glory.
Courage, affliction, gloire.
Courage, affliction, glory.
Juste une courte pensée sur ces trois mots.
Thinking about these three words.
L'apôtre Paul est en train de nous communiquer ce que le Saint-Esprit lui communique.
Sometimes we want to communicate what the Holy Spirit's communicating.
Ce que l'apôtre Paul est en train de vivre, il le communique à l'Église.
So Paul is living this and communicating it to the church.
Et l'apôtre Paul est en train d'exhorter l'Église.
So Paul is exhorting the church.
À porter les regards là où il faut.
Sorry.
À porter les regards là où il faut.
So to bring the view where it needs to be.
Il nous parle des afflictions.
By afflictions.
Il nous parle de la gloire.
He speaks about glory.
Et de ces deux choses dépendent ont une influence sur le courage.
And these two things have an influence on our courage.
C'est vrai que Christ nous a donné, Christ nous donne le courage.
It's true that Christ gives us courage.
Nous trouvons le courage en Christ. Nous trouvons le courage
and
en
we
Christ.
Find courage in Christ.
Mais Paul est en train de nous dire que nous pouvons perdre le courage par les afflictions, en regardant les afflictions.
Paul says that we can lose our courage because of affliction.
Si nous regardons aux afflictions, le courage en sera affecté.
So if we're looking at our afflictions, our courage is going to be affected.
Si nous regardons à Christ, à la gloire.
But if we look at Christ, we see glory.
Le courage en sera aussi affecté. Le courage en sera aussi au bénéfice.
And our courage will be benefited from that.
Et pour nous au Maroc, c'est un peu le même phénomène.
So for us in Morocco, it's the same phenomenon.
La manière dont nous regardons le champ missionnaire là-bas.
So in a way, we look at the mission field there.
Peut affecter notre courage aussi.
That it can affect our courage also.
Alors que si nous regardons aux afflictions,
so if we look at our afflictions,
nous voyons un pays fermé.
We see a closed country.
Nous voyons un pays religieux.
We see a very religious country.
Nous voyons un pays de rejet. Hmm? Un pays de rejet.
A country that rejects.
Un pays de violence.
A violent country.
Un pays de d'orgueil national spirituel.
A country of a national that has a orgueil spirituel, a national pride.
Tout ce qu'on peut voir dans les évangiles et dans les actes.
All the things that we see in the gospels and in the book of Acts.
Et ce à quoi était confronté l'apôtre Paul.
Those are the things that confronted the apostle Paul as well.
Et qui était la source de ses afflictions.
And those were the sources of his afflictions.
Mais les âmes.
The souls.
Les âmes.
The souls.
Dieu regarde aux âmes.
God sees souls.
La gloire de Dieu ce sont les âmes.
The glory of God is
les âmes.
Is the souls.
Yes. Souvent on peut penser au roi de Sodome qui demandait à Abraham, donne-moi les âmes, donne-moi les âmes.
So we can sorry.
On peut penser au roi de Sodome qui demandait à Abraham, donne-moi les âmes.
Oh. Yes. Okay. So Abraham asked the king of Sodom, give me just the souls.
Mais non, mais Dieu, les âmes sont pour Dieu.
But the souls are for God.
Les cœurs sont pour Dieu.
The hearts are for God.
Et quand on regarde au cœur et la gloire
when we look at the heart and the glory of God,
alors le champ missionnaire change.
So then the mission field changes.
Et ça devient un champ missionnaire de gloire.
And now it becomes a mission field of glory.
À cause des cœurs.
Because of the hearts.
À cause des âmes.
Of the souls.
À cause du travail de Dieu dans les vies.
Because of the work of God in their lives.
À cause de l'action du Saint-Esprit.
Because of the work of the Holy Spirit.
La transformation des vies.
La
transformation des cœurs.
And the transformation of hearts.
Et alors on voit la gloire de Dieu. Et alors on voit la gloire de Dieu.
Oh, so we see the glory of God.
Là où on pourrait voir les problèmes, là où on pourrait voir les afflictions, on voit la gloire.
So we see the afflictions, but also we see the glory.
À cause de Christ.
Because of Christ.
À cause de Christ.
Because of Christ.
Pour Christ.
For Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Is that it? Amen.
So we were on this trip from 6-hour drive from Pretoria to a place called Durban.
Praise God.
And Pastor Shabelli was crying the whole time.
He was.
Why are we going to 6 hours of Bible study for 5 people? No. Well, we went to Durban and there was 5 people there. 2 of them became pastors. And one of them pastor Speedy over there, and this other pastor Speedy, and Pastor Speedy's wife, yeah, they were from South Africa. So, Pastor Adam Speedy, the real African.
All right, beige African.
That's good. And I always tell him I was in Africa before you. So, all right, I'm sorry. I got the mic. Hey. Can we do that again? All right. 1 Corinthians 13. Wait. Real quick. To honor a few people without which Africa missions would not have happened, and that's Linda Shabelli, Isabel Palmieri, Charity Brown, Molly Harrison. I said Molly Harrison. Carol Arman, Julie Arman, Melinda Speedy, Mrs. Dario, and just who else did I leave out? Of all the wonderful, precious women of God, it would have all just imploded without them. And we love you. Really amazing. Really amazing women. I was deciding who to marry, and I said there's only one left that could live in Africa. So I asked her to marry me from the pulpit. I'm not going to embarrass you again. Okay. 2 verses. 1 Corinthians 13:1, written to a loveless, confused church that had so many gifts but weren't spiritual. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And then 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? There is a lot of tingling. I don't know what a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass. I believe it doesn't sound too good. Ting, ting, ting. We were in a church in Congo one time. Pastor Emil invited me to a church, and they had this huge church, and there was one instrument, and it was like a pole with a piece of metal, and they were ting, 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 banging this thing. It was a tinkling cymbal, and it was very loud. And there's a lot of theatrics and a lot of intellectualism and a lot of emotionalism and a lot of Christian teenagers playing games in the circus of this world system to the devil's laughter. And it makes absolutely no difference. And a loveless message is a tinkling cymbal. But I thank God in 2000, And actually, before that, when my mother started listening to Pastor Stevens, the white tapes, that we heard not a tinkling brass, but we heard a certain sound, a very certain sound. And she would listen to them, and she had so many of them, and she had hurt her back, and she was on her back for a month just listening to Dr. Stevens and loved it. And she'd select the best ones for us to hear, and I said, this is a certain sound. This is a clear sound. A clear sound can get people beyond borders. A clear sound can get people out of their pews and to join God's army. we just drove 22 hours from Houston, Texas. I gave my son Noah an MP3 player. He said, "Put music," and I loaded it up with those Grace explosives from Pastor Stevens as well. And they said, "Who is this? We love this guy. This is great. This is, sounds awesome." Women dress modestly. It was a certain, clear sound. Absolute, dogmatic, with the heart of God, with the love of God, with 15 verses to back it up, and conviction. And I remember I was minding my own business, sitting in Durban, got invited to a Bible study, and usually Bible studies where, you know, what do you think about it? And what do you think about it? And I heard someone stand up and says, "Thus says the Lord." But God! And it was a certain sound. It was clear. It was dogmatic. It was absolute. It was the heart of God. It was crystal clear, unmistakable, with 15 verses to back it up. And this is amazing. You know, this is what they had in the camp. They didn't need some mamsy-pamsy guy with a, "Well, I think," and "What do you think?" They needed, there was 2 million people moving around, and in order to make progress, they needed someone. I don't care whether your trumpet's a little bit rusty or shiny or big or small. It's a clear sound, you know? That's what Gideon had in Judges chapter 7. 300 men, not many, but they had this, these little trumpets. And it's a clear sound that pierces the confusion of this world. Many voices, so many voices, but a clear sound that instills courage in people, that gets people to say, "Yes, I cannot, but God will perform the thing that is appointed for me." That gets people to say, "Yes, I have a need, but I am is sufficient, and His grace is sufficient for my need." That gets people to say, "I don't have a vision, but God," but someone stands up and writes the vision and makes it plain, and that he that reads it may run with it. And it's awesome today that we have a clear sound of someone who's looking at, not at their affliction, but looking at the glory of the value of souls. It's a clear sound of grace, a clear sound of an unapologetic finished work that says there's nothing left for you to do but believe. Simple, effortless, non-meritorious, glorious, receptivity, easy yoke, light burden, a clear sound of the gospel. And I looked at him, and he's tearing up Africa, and I said, "I want to be part of your church when you come to Durban." And he said, "I'm not coming to this stupid city. You can come to Bible college." I said, "Wow, that's amazing." But you know what happened? He left our town, and he never came back. And that whole, for months later, until I left, everything that occurred in our lives that went wrong, right? You can testify. I got the mic. You can testify it, right? My mom and dad, "Oh, man, finance is it. But God. But God," we were repeating the Bible study, that he was reverberating Bible verses on repetition. That's what my kids are doing now with the MP3 player. They're getting the clear sound in their hearts. Amen. Amen.
Okay, Pastor Shallow, would you come up? Please. And I want all of these men, and everybody that's been in Africa, stand. And I'd like you to pray just that the vision, pray for us that we don't get lazy. We don't back up, shut up, or put up. You know, that we just like, we go till in the 90s, like 100 years old. You know, I mean, just pray for us that We have, come on over here, you men. We just have like vision. We speak it. We believe it. And all of you that have been to Africa, would you stand up too and just pray for us? And thank you for pastoring. Thank you for encouraging. He's a man of God who encourages the vision and really like is behind it. And this church does so much in Africa missions. It's incredible. Just getting behind it in prayer and in trips and in going there and sending people and finances are incredible. So we're just grateful. We're grateful to God and grateful to greater grace. And thank God for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And also, thanks for leading this tough. This is a tough group to lead. Pastor Bill, you're leading. Wow. Isn't it? This is a tough group. They're but thanks for the unity that we have in the body. Isn't that amazing? And all the portions, I'll tell you, it was edifying, wasn't it? Everything we heard is so fresh. Everything was so good. Very fresh. Pastor George touched our hearts. And Pastor Chris, very much. Everyone was great. Okay. So you want long life? That was one of the requests. You want long life? You said 100 years or something? Okay, so we got 83. Almost 80. Wow, that's a good request. Anybody writing this down? 20 or 30 more years, 23 more countries, and what else? More 3:30 in the more phone calls at 3 in the morning. No, but the Spirit of God that has put us together, all of us, isn't it amazing? There's a lot of diversity. Many manifestations, many expressions, and yeah, and the work of grace, huh? Many manifestations, many expressions, many answers to prayer. Wow, how many prayers have been answered? All right, so here's one more prayer. Ready? We're all together on this. Lord Jesus, you have called these men and their families. You have spoken to them and through them. You have directed their footsteps. You have blessed their decisions. You have made them fruitful. You have used them to plant churches, to pastor, to care about people. You have done it, God. They have sown the seed, and they're doing it still. And give increase to that seed in Morocco, Ghana, Uganda, South Africa, Malawi, and the new church in Namibia. Pastor Ronaldo, 28 years in Africa, and so on, God. Thank you. And bless them with 20, 30 more years, 23 more African countries, more disciples, more churches, more help, more answers to prayer. We are one big team. We love you and thank you for what you're doing in Africa. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, Pastor Cliff, stand up. Wow. How many years did you spend in Africa? 9 years? Marcia, where? Yeah, of course, he was with his wife. Yes. They spent many years in Zambia and Mozambique, so amen.